the fundamentals of real estate do not go out the window. It will always be about location. It will always be about the property value, the schools, etc. These fundamentals don't change, don't go out the window solely because we're focusing on midterm rental insurance. So if you focus on location, the fundamentals of a good real estate deal, and you layer it on top of the midterm rental buying criteria, and bonus, it is also in a strong short-term rental market, then I believe you have the secret formula to having success in the midterm rental insurance space.
Who's this? Oh, you're an entrepreneur? Oh, you're a real estate investor? Oh, you're trying to learn from those who did it? Well, come into the lab then. Put your white coat on, gloves on, notepad, and let's build, y'all.
Do you know that the number one question that I still get to this day is, which market is the best for the midterm rental insurance strategy? And I have an answer to that, that it works in every market, and that's actually not where I go. There is, however, a buying criteria that I focus on to make sure that I, when I use this criteria, and you, when you use this criteria, will increase your chances of landing a midterm rental insurance contract. And these are done in 10 steps, or at least 10 points that I focus on. And what I like to focus on these 10 points is give it a score. And it does not mean, this is very important, that if you do not get a 10 out of 10, that you should not move forward with the deal. But my rule of thumb, or what I like to do when I'm educating my buyers or my investors, is that I want you to know what the score was when you got into it, so that you're very clear on the positioning that you're taking and when you're making this purchase, so that you're not going to be left saying, hey, I don't know why this is not working, etc. If you're buying a 7 out of 10, you're getting a 7 out of 10. If you're getting a 9 out of 10, you're getting a 9 out of 10. And all that score means, it's an increase for me. The higher the score, the more you increase your chances of landing a midterm rental insurance contract, because it means you're catering to the most important critical factors that still are applicable in this space. And one thing to not leave out before I start this list is that the fundamentals of real estate do not go out the window. It will always be about location. It will always be about the property value, the schools, etc. These fundamentals don't change, don't go out the window solely because we're focusing on midterm rental insurance. So if you focus on location, the fundamentals of a good real estate deal, and you layer it on top of the midterm rental buying criteria, and bonus, it is also in a strong short-term rental market, then I believe you have the secret formula to having success in the midterm rental insurance space. So let's start with number one. Number one number criteria that I focus on is always going to be the asset type. I want the asset type to be a single family home that has a sweet spot of 4 to 5 bedroom homes plus, right? Again, it does not mean that it's a deal breaker if you have a 3-bedroom or a 2-bedroom. Well, just keep in mind, it's a very different avatar, especially when you get to the 2-bedroom and 1-1s. Now you're catering more to the furnished finders of the world. And while we love the furnished finders of the world, it is not the type of avatar we're going after, because it's not the avatar that's going to bring us top dollar. Okay, so 4 to 5 bedrooms is the sweet spot regardless of any market. You will increase your chances. That is 1 for 1, or 1 out of 10 points already. Let's go to 2. Number 2 is, if you haven't heard, there's this thing called the silver tsunami. That means that there's going to be more old folks than young folks, which means that I want to cater to those needs, right? I want to make sure that you can access the home without having to take steps. Ideally, there are no front steps in the home. And if there are front steps, no worries. Hopefully, there's a side door entrance, like a carport or through the garage, that allows you to access the home with no steps. Now, again, not a deal breaker, but something to keep in mind, that it's not only about those old needs. What if someone has a physical disability, has a walker, crutches, wheelchair? I want to make sure that as small as, I'm talking about even the lip, is there a lip going into the home? Most homes do have it. If it's slight, you can get away with it. When as soon as you start having stairs, you're decreasing the chance of being able to cater to, again, someone or a family or an individual that may be able to access the home without any steps. So that is why the second rule of thumb, as I always call it, is the no stairs rule, right? Now, keep in mind, if you have stairs, it doesn't mean that it's a deal breaker, but could you live in that home without going up or down the stairs? So let's say it meets the needs. There are no stairs to the front. Great. Or there's stairs at the front, but there's a side entrance. Great. Now, when you get inside, can you access the bathroom? Can you access the shower? Can you access the washer or dryer? Can you access the kitchen without any steps? For me, that is actually why I stay away from split level homes, because of that reason. Because as soon as you add the split level, it decreases my score and I don't get that other point that I want. So that's 2 for 10. Now, caveat to that is the master on main walk-in shower, what I just discussed. Is the master on main, or do I have to go upstairs to go to the master bedroom? Could I just have the master on the main floor? Is it on the same floor? Does it have a walk-in shower? Again, those are 1 and 2 in the same. 1 for 2, right? If it has a walk-in shower, great. If it has the tub, maybe not so much, because now I have to get, again, think of physical disability. I have a dedicated episode to this. Dr. Najee and I actually talked about this on the episode called Dr. Najee's Journey from Medicine to Real Estate and Inclusive Travel. It is also on this YouTube channel. But we talked about how it's not, there isn't as much inclusive travel options for someone who's has a physical disability. So we want to factor that into our investment play, because it's only a matter of time until you have someone that you need to accommodate that may have some physical disabilities, or maybe it's just an older individual that is doesn't have the ability to get around as easily as one would. And so therefore that goes a long way. So far, 4 to 5 bedrooms, no stairs, and you have the master on main or walk-in shower. Experiment Nation, you've heard the word MTR, midterm rentals, as it is currently a hot topic and hot commodity right now, because again, there has been an increase in short-term rental regulations, and there also has been, let's face it, a slowdown in what we were experiencing a couple years back when it comes to bookings. So with that said, short-term rental operators are looking for alternative solutions to tap into the midterm rental space. However, there is a space, there is a sub niche of midterm rental insurance that I'm truly excited about, that I want to share with you, that the experience that we've had, the tremendous results we've been able to have, and that's the insurance midterm rental space, which is very different than your traditional midterm rentals. When you think of traditionally midterm rentals, you think of travel nurses. There is a space, midterm rental insurance space, that we've tapped in, where you need to be well connected with insurance and relocation specialists and companies, and understand the right type of asset required for you to be able to help these families. What's really important that stands out the most, which you can get in what I'm about to offer you, is the understanding where to be found by these insurance companies, how to properly manage your calendar so that your listings are optimized so that they can find you, how to actually gain traction and build a relationship with these relocation insurance companies. I've put together an MTR insurance blueprint, that's MMTRRR insurance blueprint, to cover these foundations after we've had success landing very large contracts on single family homes that literally 4x what we traditionally make in long-term rentals, and also gives us peace of mind because there's less turnover and 100% occupancy, because these contracts can start anywhere from 30 days to 3 months to 8 months, and range anywhere from, again, we've landed anywhere from $8,000 to $9,000 a month in per month on a single family home property, which our mortgages are typically around the $2,400 range, which then gives you a large spread of anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 net on just one property. And this is why it's very hot right now. But people who haven't been in the lab with individuals like myself, like Jesse Vasquez and Dr. Rachel Gainsborough and Noble Crawford, don't have the foundations and don't know exactly where to start. And therefore, this is why I'm giving you guys a blueprint, the MTRR insurance blueprint. Go to the website experimentrealestate.com and get yourself a blueprint to completely change, or at least have a plan B if you're a short-term rental operator looking to maximize your occupancy and profitability. We'll see you on the other side. worker. Let's go to number four. I kind of talked about it in the beginning. Do you have a garage? When you're thinking about who we're catering to, the avatar we're catering to families who are temporary relocating, which means they're bringing in their stuff, they're bringing in their vehicles, their cars. If they're coming in from a place where they currently have a garage, then you're going to want to make sure that you have a garage to at least have two cars. If you don't, again, we're not saying it's a deal breaker, but just keep in mind, if someone is going to walk your property, aka the family, you're still going to want to be able to cater to their existing needs. And if they came from a garage, now they don't have a garage, that's going to be a downside. And if there's two properties and one has a garage and one doesn't, there's a good chance they're going to pick the one with the garage if everything else is equal. Okay. Another thing, people come with the cars and guess what else they come with? They also come with their furry friends. That's part of the family. It's a no-brainer. So do their furry friends have a fenced-in backyard? Fenced-in backyards are going to be a very critical feature to have. Now, if you don't have a backyard, again, stop freaking out. You don't need to freak out at all. Just know, let the record show that if you're going to go ahead and buy a property, co-host the property or manage the property, that's going to be a feature that you should be looking for. And if you don't have it, just know that it's going to be, again, a dock, an X when it comes to a potential need of a family. Because I would say 70 to 80% of the families that relocate with us have pets. And so if the house is a perfect fit and they don't have an area where they can play, that's going to be a downside, or maybe that's going to be a huge concern for them, right? And you know, especially in a new environment, it's good for the pets to run around, whether it's their dogs or their cats or whatever it is, right? So far, 4 to 5 bedrooms, master on main, no stairs, garage, and fenced-in backyard. And now we're going by one of my rules of thumb that is really a bonus for me, but I want to have a home with a basement with a walkout. Now, I know I just mentioned the no stairs and you got to use stairs to get to a basement, but that's a bonus, right? If you can live on the first floor and not have to worry about anything, if you have bonus rooms. Now, what I've done as an investor, I'm buying a home that might be, let's say, a three-bedroom home, but now I have two bonus rooms in the basement and that turns it into five. I always like to get more for what I can, right? And that's going to be my next thing, right? When I think of a basement and a walkout, it gives me the opportunity to now have another bonus floor of entertainment. Typically, we've had the basements have an extra set of another set of a living room. It has maybe sometimes has a washer and dryer there, although I do like it for it to be on the first floor in case, you know, you shouldn't have to access the stairs again for the washer and dryer. So when you're placing your items, it's good to place it on the top floor. But then I have extra space. I have two bedrooms. Typically, I want the bedrooms or the basements to be walkouts because I want to be able to have light in the basements because now it's not so much like a basement. It's just like a second floor. And walking out to the back sets me up for success where I may have the ability down the road to turn that into a duplex. I always want the exit strategy. Remember, midterm rental insurance is a means to an end. Once you start making your cash flow and you start deploying that capital and growing your portfolio, maybe quitting your job, whatever it is that allows you to do, keep in mind you're still buying real estate and you want that real estate to increase in value. You want it to work for you. And at one point, you may want to have a different exit strategy. Maybe it means that you have a duplex and it's more stabilized. It's not as aggressive income as it used to make because you don't need to anymore because it's made you tons of money and tons of equity in there that you just want it to be stabilized and you put a long-term rental on both sides. And because there is the opportunity to have a walkout basement with a separate entrance, an entire, right? I like full basements, not half, like they cover underneath the entire home. You essentially have a second floor that's ground level, which means you could have a second entrance. You could block out the middle door, and now you essentially could turn it into a duplex. That is one of the biggest tasks when you buy a home and you get two for one. So that is in our buy box. We always want to make sure there's a basement walkout basement in every property that we buy. Literally, it's a rule of thumb. We don't buy it if it doesn't have that. It doesn't have to be your truth, but it's certainly our truth. And it gives us multiple exits and also gives us larger homes, which means we're able to cater to larger issues, which means we get paid in proportion to the larger issues that we solve. And that is why we're technically buying 3-bedroom homes, but with the bonus rooms, they're 4-3s or they're 5-3s. And that is why we're able to solve a large problem and charge a premium for doing so. Get that basement with a walkout for multiple exit strategies for the interest of serving your current customers or in your current guests, your current policy holders at a premium. All right. Next, speaking of premium, still getting premium stays, one of the exit strategies that I believe in is being able to actually run the short-term rental model. So we run the midterm rental insurance model and we build it on top of a short-term rental infrastructure. What do I mean by that? The short-term rental infrastructure still needs to be in line and make sense. What does that mean? It means that I want to invest in a market that is still, my numbers are favorable for short-term rental regulations, short-term rental numbers, because in case that I don't have a midterm rental insurance contract, which I've talked many times, I want to be able to have an exit strategy to do short-term rentals. That's my rule of thumb. I do not solely tell people to go in one deal and saying if you have a 30-day, 60-day minimum restriction in your marketplace or an HOA, I really want you to be in an area where you can do the short-term rental models. So therefore, for that reason, I say all that to say this. That's why we like the back decks, because the back decks are very marketable in the short-term rental markets. It really serves a family to come in and sit. Maybe it's a outside dining room table. Maybe it's outside seating, relaxing, fire pits, etc. You can really truly sell a property with a back deck. So therefore, we always look into that. Another rule of thumb. So that's, what are we at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's number 7. Then the last three, areavibes.com. You can use a lot of different websites. We like Area Vibes. Anything greater than a score of 65 is a rule of thumb. But look at the score, the areavibes.com. Like, why is it low? Is it because it's very expensive and your cost of living is a low score, which then tells me it's an affluent neighborhood, so therefore the lower score is justified, or at least is dragging down? What is weighing down that score? I want to always factor that in, because that's going to let me know whether I'm like investing in the hood, or if I'm like, it's just an affluent neighborhood and things are low because there's no sidewalks and there's no schools, etc. Now, keep in mind, you should invest anywhere that keeps you peace of mind, but I always like to, make sure it's somewhere where I would want to invest and where the property value is going to go up, because at the end of the day, we're trying to stay profitable and it is an asset and you want that asset to be working for you, not against you. Okay. Then again, rule of thumb, AirDNA. Want my AirDNA numbers to be tight. My rule of thumb is 15% of purchase price is napkin math. Therefore, if a property is worth $100,000, is it bringing in $15,000? If a property is worth $1 million, is it bringing in $150,000 a year? 50% mark or rule of thumb is for market occupancy. I wanted to be in a marketplace in the STR where, there's 50% or more occupancy. This is on airdna.co. There are tons out there. Please use as many as possible. Let me say that one more time. Please use as many as possible, as sometimes the data can be skewed by multiple outliers in the marketplace. There could be a house with a pool or a mansion that's literally jacking up numbers in that marketplace that you do not want to get caught in the act of not having done your due diligence. Make sure you look at airdna.co, MashVisor, Rabu, whatever floats your boat, whatever new technology comes out, to cross-reference and get an average so you're very comfortable. And when I say comfortable, it's calculated risk, right? You may be able to finish differently. You may have different things going for your property, but you want to make sure you're still running those numbers very, very, very accurately, as much accurate as possible. But still, it's a case-by-case situation. I don't run my analysis by the market. I run my analysis by the property in that market. Last but not least, in order for you to get a 10 out of 10, it must pass the vibe check. Is it a good vibe? Are you vibing with it? Would you live there? AKA, would you live there? Would you put you and your family in that specific neighborhood? Would you live there yourself? If the answer is no, then it does not pass the vibe check and therefore should question why you're making the investment. If the numbers check out and it makes sense, etc., and you still wouldn't live there, it's just something to know, right? Like when something hits the fan, you just know that, hey, I knew that I wouldn't live in there and this is why hit the fan, right? So this list is meant as a guide, okay? And if you want access to the list, definitely make sure you grab the MTR Insurance Blueprint and get on my list. And you can feel free to email me about, hey, I want this criteria, although you have it right here in this video. But just, it's so important for you to still be analyzing deals as
you know, critically. A lot of people I come across do not analyze deals. They're not doing this level of analysis. They don't even have a buy box. They don't have a criteria. You don't have a KPI. They're not tracking anything. They're just flying by the seat of their pants. And that is not you, because you're currently watching this right now. So make sure that you take this through when you're looking to go into an MTR market. First, make sure it's a strong SDR market. Then run the MTR buy box criteria. That's the MTR insurance buy box criteria that you should run it by. And where does it score? Are you 8 out of 10? Are you 9 out of 10? Are you at 10 out of 10? Are you at 7 out of 10? And if you start getting to the 7s and 6s, ask yourself the question, is this truly the best deal that I can get for myself right now? And if so, why? Right? And if it is, pull the trigger. And if it's not, you move on. Have some kind of metric, some kind of buy box that you live by. Maybe the rule of thumb is I do not buy anything lower than 7, because that would go against my risk tolerance. Whatever that rule of thumb is, define it. That's usually around where we're at. If I do not have a scarcity mindset, if it is not a 7 or higher, or if it is, I need to know why it's a 7 and be comfortable with why it's a 7. And not all scores are created equal, but it gives at least a baseline for you to measure your success, or at least your comfort level when looking to buy, looking to co-host or manage your next midterm rental insurance contract. Abundance, may the abundance of contracts come your way with the right investment in your corner. We'll see you next time.
Experiment Nation, podcasting has changed the way we operate as real estate investors ourselves, and it can do the same for you. Podcasting has been the source of the masterclasses that we get thanks to the world-class real estate investors and practitioners and specialists that come into the lab from all realms, from short-term rentals to midterm rentals to real estate syndications to even software as a service. Owners, founders, entrepreneurs have helped enrich our experiments by giving us the education, helping us build a network, and lastly, and most importantly, a brand association to open up multiple doors for our respective businesses. If you understand the power that podcasting can have, and you know that you need one for your brand, please, you can rely on our team. InvestedTalent.com is my team and the team that helps this podcast, The Real Estate Experiment, become the fruition each and every single week to educate my community, build relationships on the air, and continue to build our brand. If you know that you need to do these same for your brand and you haven't pulled the trigger yet, maybe because you don't know how, our company, InvestedTalent.com, does the end-to-end from the time that you record, from the time that it is published, to even repurposing content on multiple social media platforms. That's what my team can do for you. Simply go to InvestedTalent.com and book a discovery call to see how my team can help you launch your podcast.
If you got value from this video, make sure you watch my other video called Does Midterm Rental Work with Any Asset Type? And we'll see you next time.